Welcome in, everybody, to another Beat the Bookie podcast. You can find us in the DFS Army podcast feed and join us, as always, over at sportsbetarmy.com. Use code BET, get 20% off. And I'm here with always the star of the show, John Alicia, Mr. Statsational, off a big win in daily fantasy sports. I'm going to ask you about. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How's it going out?
Good, good. For those of you who tune in each time that we do a Beat the Bookie podcast, I'm Alan Cislowski over at DFS Army, one of the season-long fantasy football coaches. But we're here today to talk about accountability in sports betting. And John, I want to ask you a little bit about that in a moment. But first, talk about that big win. I saw you atop the leaderboard the other day in a big wild card contest.
Yeah, that was Saturday last week. We're doing this for those watching in the future. We're doing this 2021 January. So yeah, wild card weekend this Saturday. Had a nice win, a $70,000 first place, and then a same lineup and a different lineup for second place for 20,000. So it was a nice Saturday. So I came first and second in a big GPP.
Was that courtesy of Tyler Heinicke?
No. It was a Josh Allen stack. So it was an Allen Diggs. Yeah. But the Heinicke looked great.
Yeah, he was the first thing I did was go out in all my dynasty leagues and pick him up because he looks like he could be the future. But all right. But we're here to talk today about accountability in sports betting. And talk to me a little bit about, because when you told me this is the topic that you wanted to talk to the people about, I wasn't 100% sure exactly what you meant. So just in the most layman's terms, tell me what accountability in sports betting is and how that can benefit us as sports players, as sports wagering players.
Yeah, I mean, I'll sometimes I do my best thinking in the shower or maybe right next to the shower
on the bowl.
But I was in the shower just thinking about it. If you know my background, I worked on Wall Street for, I guess, about 25 years or so. And like most of us, we had bosses, you had a job. You've got sort of a built-in accountability. You're accountable. We're all accountable to somebody at some point, right? So, and most of us have a job. You're accountable to your boss. You're accountable to the company you work for, whoever it may be. When you go out on your own, like I have done, you now have to be accountable to yourself. Now we should all be accountable to ourselves, but I think that's a difficult thing. It's something that we all maybe strive for, and we're all looking for that freedom. Like everyone wants to be their own boss. The most difficult part of that though is being a tough boss on yourself and holding yourself accountable. And in the sports betting world, I think it kind of lends itself to the type of, I think it lends itself to laziness, quite honestly. I think from the outside, I think people look at it, they're like, oh, you bet on sports for a living? You must be really lazy. To be lazy in this world, just like any other type of business, you're not going to go very far. So whether I'm doing DFS or sports betting, you can't just half-ass it. You're not going to make any money. There's a lot of work that's involved. I think that's one thing that I want to get across to everybody is just the amount of time, the amount of work that you have to put in. Now, if it's something that you enjoy, it doesn't really seem like work. So sports for me and figuring this kind of these things out, the DFS, sure, it's not really work. And a lot of us would like to do that full time. But again, you need to hold yourself accountable. So the theme of this podcast was that the accountability, because it's sports betting. It seems like it's for years at least. And even now it's sort of the underground, right? Sometimes maybe just you and your friends talk about it, but it's something that you almost do in private. Nowadays, of course, with the with your phone, you could kind of just bet privately. And what I want to steer people away from is just being more I've got the word on the tip of my tongue, but compulsive is the word. And compulsive and gambling, of course, don't really go well together. Just like everything else, being compulsive in some things can be detrimental. But in sports betting, of course, as well. Nowadays, what these sports books are trying, what they're doing is they're giving you a ton of different opportunities to bet. You're watching these football games this weekend. You can bet constantly in-game betting. And that lends itself to compulsiveness. So when I talk about accountability, have a game plan, have a business plan, just like you would in any other business. So that's why if you go back and look at, we've had podcasts on bankroll management and risk management, things like that. Give yourself put yourself in a situation where you have two different people. You're the employee and you're the boss. Split yourself up. And if, as a boss, what would you expect out of your employee in this being your job being a gambler, even if this is not your profession, to do it properly? That's how I want you to go about thinking about it.
So even if you're just the casual sports wagerer, someone that, you know, puts in, say, anywhere from a few hundred to a couple $1,000 for the whole sport, for the whole season, you're saying that you could actually organize yourself, think of it like this, and likely turn up your winning percentage just by being organized.
Oh, 100%, right? So tracking your bets. Just if you're just doing it on a spreadsheet or you have an app that can track your bets, all the better, right? Because now you're going to see where your leaks are in your game. Those of you who play poker know finding leaks in your poker game, essential to becoming more profitable. Find leaks in your DFS game. Every 3 months, 6 months, a year, maybe go and analyze. If you're a DFS player, analyze the game. What games is my ROI the best? What game, not just the sports, you know, what sport, what type of games am I playing? These large GPPs is where I'm making my money. I'm not doing so well in the cash games, vice versa. And then shore it up. So maybe stop playing those other games or figure out how you're going to change what it is that you're doing to become more profitable. When we're talking about the sports betting, are certain sports, am I really good in college basketball and I'm just punting money away in the NFL? Am I just wasting a ton of money on parlays and teasers, but my straight bets are making money? Figure that stuff out, just that alone, and you haven't changed anything else. Getting yourself organized, making yourself accountable. Because if you had a boss and you were showing you had to show the numbers to your boss, they're going to make those changes. So again, split yourself up. You need to be two different people. This is a business. You're working for yourself. You're the boss and you're the employee, and you'll get yourself to be more profitable.
Okay. And also, so you could do this as simply as a spreadsheet as you're talking about. I mean, literally everybody that's listening to this knows how to use a Google Sheet or a Microsoft Excel sheet or whatever you're doing. So make a list of your wagers. What you're saying is put win-loss, put what the spread was, kind of, you know, and really dive into it. I mean, even if you're just doing a couple bets a week, I like that idea of doing it. Seems pretty easy. And you can go back and give yourself like a report card or a quarterly report, as you put it in corporate terms. And just want to remind everybody that's watching this right now, if you're watching us, the Bookie Podcast, give us a like, click that button. Helps us get the word out there a little bit. Give us a share if you're so inclined. Go onto our YouTube page if you'd like. Subscribe to get notifications when we go live. As well, if you want to join SportsBet Army, that's where John spends most of his time posting his models, his algorithms, his record. You could join right now using the code BET, get 20% off. And as we're heading into the NFL playoffs, John, sure, he does give out his picks, but again, he rationalizes each one. He goes into his reasoning and he doesn't hide from his record. All right, John, go ahead. You want to jump in there?
No, you're bringing up SportsBet Army, and that's almost an accountability for me, right? I need to be posting my picks. I don't take very many days off because we've got subscribers and they're paying for a service. So me taking days off is not fair to them, right? But the being able to have that SportsBet Army, just the subscribers themselves hold me accountable. So it helps me. It's my way of having to make sure that I am giving out the best possible picks I can, that I actually am doing the research. Because again, I think we all fall into that trap, and I've learned this over the course of time, where even those of us who are really diligent and we do the work, you might sit there and you're like, boy, I don't like anything for this. I don't like anything Saturday in the NFL. But hey, it's the NFL Saturday and these are the playoffs and they're big games, so I'm just going to bet it anyway, right? If you feel that impulse, if you feel that urge, just do it for a small amount of money, because you don't have anything backing up that data. Or if you're just following my picks and I give you nothing that day, people get upset. Like, hey, it's the NFL, and I made this point in a chat. Now, I gave out NFL games last week, but I'm waiting. I was kind of waiting for the right prices, and we were two and a half and oh, because I gave half a play, was a half tennis, half NFL parlay. But we hit all of the NFL last week. But you have to be patient. You can't just play all six games that were last weekend just because there's all six games. And again, if you're going to do that, do it for a smaller amount, because you understand you're doing it for fun. I view it as I like to go to the casino. I don't know if you like to go to the casino at all and play blackjack or craps or whatever you like to play. I mean, a lot of people like it. It's entertainment. But
you know what it is? It's about the going into a casino. For me, it's that same feeling that I used to get when I'd go into, like, you're from New York, KB Toys or something like that, and like, or Toys R Us, and when it used to be good and it'd have all the video games on the wall. I mean, it literally feels like that. And it doesn't mean I have to spend a ton of money. I like playing, you know, small hand blackjack, or I don't need to play big time poker, but just hearing the clicking and the dinging of the slot machine, smelling the smoke, while looking at those ugly carpets, looking at 90-year-old women smoking a cigarette down to the ash, throwing coins into the slot machine. There's something nostalgic and exciting about that.
It is. And of course, they design it to be ultra stimulating and get you excited. But people will be surprised. You know, I'll risk, you know, five figures on an NFL weekend between DFS and sports betting. And I'll go into a casino and play blackjack for fun. And I'm playing $10 a hand. I'm just playing minimal because I know I can't beat the game, right? I'm not there counting cards. I'm not doing anything like that. If I play craps, I love the game. It's exciting. Again, I'm like, oh man, $10 table, I'm in, right? The $25 table, I'm like, oh, I gotta, you know, because I know I'm not going to win. Right. You might win. You're going to win from time to time, but I know I don't have an edge in the game. So people are always – now, I know a lot of people who – I know a lot of sports bettors who are profitable. I know poker players who are profitable, and their downfall is, especially the poker players – well, I guess sports bettors too, who the old days when they were in the casino in Vegas really only betting, is they would take their profits and run to the tables. I knew one of the best seven-card stud players you'll ever see, and he was always a loser because he would win – and then you run to the craps table, right? So, but that's an impulse. So that's why I'm saying you need to hold yourself accountable. You need to fight that impulse. Understand the difference between playing for fun. I view the casino as a nightmare. You know, if I'm not playing poker or I'm not betting on a game, it's entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with it. If you want to, you know, if I spent $500 to go out to dinner and you know, maybe a show or something like that, that's a night of entertainment. If I did the same thing, went and had some dinner at the casino and dropped $500, well, you know, it was a night out, you know. So yeah, that's how I view it. And as I always say, you break even coming out of the casino, you had a good time.
That's a win.
That's a win. It's a win. Yeah. But now I know the same guy, he won 90. I remember one time he's telling me this story. He's an older gentleman, an uncle of one of my good friends. And he was telling me a story of how he won $93,000 playing craps, right? And then, of course, lost it all.
Every gambling story starts the same way, John. It was,
right.
I was up big, and then I lost it all. That's how every big gambling story starts.
There's a guy, there's a Greek, I don't remember his name, and he had a nickname. It was like he was the Greek, not Jimmy the Greek, but it was another Greek, famous, legendary gambler, came from Greece to Vegas, and big, and he was just a gambler, right? Came with nothing. So Binion's back in the day, I don't know if you're familiar with the casino Binion's, but Binion's is the casino that started the World Series of Poker. It was Benny Binion, I believe it was, and then Jack Binion was not that I knew him, but more my era. Jack, and he's passed away as well. But the nice thing with Binion's was they allowed you unlimited their bets. If you had the cash, you could bet it. So, you know, there's usually a max bet at most casinos. There was no limit. If you had it on you, you could bet. They weren't going to give you credit, but if you had it on you, you could bet it. And at the craps table, without getting too much into crap, if you're familiar with craps, you could play the pass line and then you could play odds behind the pass line. Well, in craps, the pass line, the house has a VIG, just like in sports. They're taking a VIG on that bet. But the odds on the craps game, the odds behind the pass line, are even money for you, not even money, but there's no VIG between you and the house. They pay fair value on those odds bets. So at Binion's, you can make a $10 bet on the pass line and a $1 million odds bet behind it. In other words, you've now eliminated all of the house edge. But that was the place where you could get great action, and gamblers loved it. Well, this guy, this Greek gentleman, went with a minimal amount of money and turned it into some obscene amount. It was between $1 million and $10 million. Doesn't really matter. It's a lot of money. Let's say he started with a few hundred, maybe $1,000, turned it into over $1 million. At one point, he had And this will tell you that he's a big time, that he's a gambler, because he never cashed the chips in. He had all the chips in safety deposit. So at one time he had so many of their high valued chips, like their $10,000 chips, that they had to call him up. They had a high stakes poker game going on. They had to call him up because he had all the big chips. So they had to borrow the chips from him to get the game to play the game.
And hopefully then he did it at a cost. Like
he might have. I don't know. I hope he did, but it really wouldn't matter because you know where the story's going. So he loses, let's say he was up $1 million to $10 million, and eventually he loses it all. Now, what everyone said, when people hear that story, they're like, oh my God, I would never lose that. Like if I had if I won $1 million, I would just quit. And I'm sure you're probably thinking that, well, no.
No, no. Well, I've been there, not up a million, but I've been up more than I thought I was going to be and thought I was going to quit and didn't work out that way. So well, I know where.
There's a number. See, the thing is, everyone thinks about what it is. They're like, well, I would have quit $1 million, $5 million. Like he would have been set. This is a guy who had nothing a year ago. Now he's got $5 million. But you wouldn't have, you also would not be the person who made the $5 million. Because you would have stopped long before that. It's like Bitcoin right now. I was just
going to say the Bitcoin example.
Yeah, I said, Bitcoin is an obvious one. Now,
yeah, I'm getting out of 10,000.
Yeah, exactly. I bought Bitcoin at $10, right, when it first – I mean, it was out probably for a while. But when I first heard about it, 2011 or 2012, and I was in and out, and I started using it. When it was at 250, I was using it to buy gift cards at Whole Foods because I had a Whole Foods down from my office, and I would get lunch using Bitcoin. I'm like, yeah, I'm making money here. I was betting using the Bitcoins. I'd go buy lunch. I'd buy Amazon gift cards, right? And so now those lunches were probably $10,000 instead of $10 lunches. But, so everyone looks back and everyone goes, oh my God, if I would have held on to my Bitcoin. But no one does, because at some point you're like, oh my God, I made money. I'm taking it out. Again, this is the mentality of most gamblers, where it's or not most gamblers, but the gamblers who actually have a problem. I would not be that guy. You would not be that guy to get to $5 million.
The gamblers who are not accountable, which is kind of circles
back. And that's what I want. Right. And that's exactly. So to get to the point, you don't want to be the guy who could potentially win $5 million, unless it was a lottery ticket, on a craps game. Because that guy is never going to be profitable at the end of the day, because that's actually not his goal. Think about this as well. How many people, they talk about, just becoming a millionaire, having an idea, becoming a millionaire because I had this great invention, great idea. Everyone's got one story. They're like, oh, I thought about that 10 years ago and I didn't. Well, what's the difference between the people who actually do it and make that big leap and the people who don't? Well, the people who don't, for the most part, never actually tried. Like everyone's like, yeah, man, if I had $10 million, I would quit. You see, that's the other thing where you see like the Mark Cubans of the world. The guy hit the jackpot, right? Came up, in the 90s, broadcast.com, whatever it was, gets purchased by Yacht. Like everyone says, oh man, if I had anywhere near that kind of money, and we're talking billions with him, like I would never do anything anymore. But he's still out there actively buying businesses, and he owns the Mavericks, and he does, because most people don't have the mindset to even get to that amount. They don't have that in them, where those people who, the guy who makes $10 million or $100 million starting a business, or girl, and it's a different mentality. Most of us don't have the mentality to even get to the 10 million. We're not willing to take the risk, nor do we have inside of us the ability to, again, back to the accountability, holding yourself accountable, taking that chance. We don't. We want other people to control our lives. I know people don't want to admit that, but we feel much more secure when there's someone else who's telling us what to do. We want without getting too deep, it's people like, having a god tell them what to do, or the leader of the country, or the leader of their town, or their boss. It's much easier. And then it's also easier to lay off the blame, right? So it's easier to lay blame on someone at one. If I fail and I'm the only one here, well, who do I blame?
Well, that's classic entrepreneur versus corporate umbrella protection argument.
Yeah, and both are fine, but you have to understand you can't sit in your corporate desk and then say to yourself, "Man, I wish I was that guy," but you don't have you're not willing to do what that guy did or that girl did to get to the point that they got to. You're not willing to actually do that. You need to. So it goes into self-awareness as well. And I think that's, you know, we're talking about accountability. What ties into accountability is being self-aware. And in sports betting, again, that goes back to analyzing your picks, analyzing and being self-aware. What are you good at? What type of personality do you have? If we're talking about DFS, are you the type of personality who could stand big swings? If you can, if your personality is good with the big swings, you might be better suited to a GPP style play as opposed to a cash game player. Again, if you're a poker player, same thing. If you don't mind the volatility in your bankroll and the high variance, you might be okay being a tournament player. But if you're the type of person who doesn't mind the grind and you just want to grind out, you know, $500 a session, $1,000 a session playing, then you're a cash game player. But you have to understand. So being self-aware, which we could do a whole topic on as well, ties into the accountability. Understand yourself, looking inside yourself, blame yourself when, you know, things go wrong. I always say I'm accountable for myself before anyone else is accountable for me. And that's how I live my life. So if things aren't going well in my life, I firstly have to figure out, well, what can I do to change it? Right. I don't go to the mayor where I live and say, well, you know, if they would just do this, my life would be better. Well, that's hard to do. You might be right, but it's real hard to change that. It's a lot easier to change. Like I could go, you know, I could organize my life a lot easier than it is for me to go organize my entire town or city or, you know, wherever I live. And it gets bigger and bigger. So we like to, I think most people like to go and look externally, and it's because it's just easier. It's easier to get the blame off of ourselves. So when we're talking about sports betting, and you'll see it in sports betting, whenever I see someone say, man, the refs are cheating, or it turns my stomach beyond belief. Like,
as a high school basketball official, I hear it all the time.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Like, yeah. You care, as if you care, you know, which two, you know, yeah, you're doing a girls basketball game. You could care less who wins. You're just trying to do the best job you possibly can, but they're going to accuse you of favoring one team for whatever reason possible, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that also comes down to, you're talking about playing the hand that you're dealt. And if something's going wrong in your sports betting streak, you know, is it just a cold streak, or do you have a good process, just a couple fluky things happened? And I think that's a good point to let everybody again know about Sports Bet Army, because these are the type of topics and more that when you come into sportsbetarmy.com, and you could use code BET right now, get 20% off, that in the Slack chat, these conversations happen all day with our coaches, with our other members. And, you know, so you said that you were accountable. You touched on this a little bit, to the members, because you're posting your picks. You're posting. So what do you do? How do you recalibrate yourself when things are maybe not going, if you're hitting games below your normal average? So how do you then self-correct once you are accountable?
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes that self-correction is no correction at all. I'll give you a good example. We started the college basketball season this year. So I guess college basketball started in November. December was just not good. And now there have been changes, right? So we've got, you know, we're in the COVID world right now. We're quarantined. There's no fans at the games. Some of these teams are playing back-to-back in some of these small conferences. So, you know, potentially there are things where I've been running the same system for 10 years and had never lost in college basketball. And all of a sudden, this is one of the worst streaks. And it wasn't that bad. Maybe, I don't know, maybe at the bottom, maybe we're about five games under 500, which is not the end of the world, right? So you're down 5+ units. And it's a small sample size. And I believe we talked about this on our last podcast. If you haven't seen that, we were talking about the gambler's fallacy, and it sort of tied into that. And it had me thinking about that. And that's why I like doing these podcasts, because it gets me refocused again. That gambler's fallacy, I said, man, I've played 700 games using this system. It's been profitable. Here I am 20 games in, I'm not doing well. And your mind is like, well, what do I need to change? And the answer was nothing. I didn't change anything. And right now we are just for the, I just did January. So we're 18 and 13 in January, up like three and almost four units on, or three and a half, whatever it is, on college basketball. So we're getting that back. You know, and we're back now on a good run here in the college basketball, but you have to analyze. I looked at it. And I said, well, are these back-to-back games really hurting me? And I looked at it. I said, no, they're not. And I just I went through the whole system again. I said, no, I just got to stick to it and do it. But a lot of other people, I think what you'll do is, if you're not tracking these things and you're not focused and you're not analyzing it. And again, even if I wasn't, we talk about the accountability, if I wasn't accountable to the members over at the Sports Bet Army, I might have just said, you know what, I'm going to put this on the shelf for a little while. I'll come back to it. But I couldn't. I didn't have the time to do that. And sure enough, and I tried to, you know, it's hard to get this across to the members. I said, you just got to kind of stay the course. And now everyone's loving it between tennis and NFL and college basketball. We're really rolling in it right now. We're rolling well. But again, it's the accountability.
When they see their bankroll start to dip down, it's, you know.
I get it.
You start to see the loose hands shake out a little bit, and the firm hands, the hodlers, as they say in Bitcoin world, to stay the course. Again, if you are enjoying this podcast and you're getting some value from it, you could pay us back just by clicking the like button, maybe even the share if you want to share it with some of your friends. You're talking with Statsational John Alicia of Sports Bet Army. I'm Alan Sislowski of DFS Army, season-long fantasy football coach. John, a couple more questions before I get you out of here. As we head into, is there any way to bake accountability, is our topic today, into your modeling? Or they kind of explain, I want to make sure I'm clear on this question. I know every professional sports bettor has a model, has an algorithm they're constantly tweaking. How does accountability factor into this model, or are they totally two separate things? One is a report card and one is a preparation process.
Yeah, I think it's separate to a degree, but I think it's sort of what I was saying previously, where it's, well, here's the thing. It starts with accountability and the fact that you have to actually go and put the work in. So you got to be accountable. You have to say to yourself, okay, let's say we're starting from scratch here. I've got to start building these models, or I've got to start doing the work and backtesting and all that, where it's the half-ass mentality where you say, wow, I tested this over the last 2 days. It's fine. It's been winning. Or, hey, I just heard that such and such teams on back-to-back games are 20-2 against the spread. Like, well, that's not enough work. Like, you haven't put enough work. There's not enough games being tested. You don't have the 500. You didn't go buy the data to get 500, 1,000 games tested, however many it's going to take you, you know, to come up with a confident system. So again, if when you feel yourself, you have to have, it's got to be something inside of you that says, I know I'm cheating myself right now. Like, I know I didn't fully think about it this way. Like, if you're trying to lose weight, and right, so it's a topic your wife would probably understand, being a nutritionist and understanding this well.
She's a dietitian that helps people lose, that helps people manage their weight and their health and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, she understands exactly what you're talking about.
I guarantee people, even if she wasn't as good as she is at doing it, just the fact that she is there helps people along, because they are accountable now to her, because she's like, hey, listen, she's putting them on a, you know, whatever type of diet she's putting them on, an exercise program. In their mind now, they're not thinking about themselves, right? They're thinking, I don't want Stacy to be disappointed in me. She's going to hold me accountable. She's going to say, hey, did you do that cardio this week? And you're like, you know, you don't want to lie to her. You don't want to, it's the same thing, but that's why it's hard to lose. And I know this, you know, personally, I've lost weight. I put weight on, you know, I've gotten in workout. It's hard. The best I was doing was like an online group where we were all working out together. And it's one of those things where you're like, I don't want to disappoint everybody. If they lose 2 pounds this week and I gain two pounds, I'm going to look like a jerk. Right.
And similar to the gym, when you have a workout partner, any of those type of things. So I think that that's the thing that just put the light bulb on for me is that anytime you are accountable, it's harder to be accountable to yourself because you have the ability to move the goalposts, to move the benchmark. So that's where it takes some real discipline. So that's why, again, I think where Sportsbet Army, you know, I don't mean to keep plugging here, but that is a good resource to become accountable in sports betting and try us out over there. By signing up at Sportsbet Army using code BET, get 20% off. And it is a great way to try it out and become accountable. John will hold you accountable and guide you along the way. All right, John, I think that's a good spot to leave it right now. I think that the listeners, the viewers, whatever you're watching this on, may have gotten some good value out of this. And we will certainly be back in the next week or so. We're going to continue doing this, pushing it out there. Anything else? We're heading into the divisional round of the NFL. You're feeling good about the matchups? I mean, if people want to get your thoughts, they can come over and join us at Beat the Bookie and Sportsbet Army. But have you posted your picks this weekend?
I have one pick out there on the game so far. There'll be more. You know, it's I don't like to just throw it out. I'm waiting for certain lines. I'm looking for line movements. So we've got one game that I posted this morning.
We're not going to throw it out there now.
And I've got, but there is a free article. Now, it was before the playoffs started. If you want to look on Sportsbet Army to get my analysis on the playoffs, and that was written before last weekend. But all the teams that I bet for the Super Bowl are alive here this weekend, so it'll be very interesting.
All right, and give my friend John a follow on Twitter as well. He's at Statsational. It's in the description, in the link of this video. You could follow me on Twitter, at Alan Cislowski. I'm also on Instagram and TikTok, where we're putting out some good video content every day, every week. So check us out over there. And, of course, follow us on our main Twitter and Instagrams at Sportsbet Army and, of course, DFS Army. All right, everybody, for John, John Alicia, Statsational, I'm Alan Cislowski. We'll get you next time on the next Beat the Bookie podcast. Bye, everybody.